Recording.
Oh, shit! There it is!
Can that be our new intro? All right, Brandon, normalish episode today. What have you been geeking on?
Oh, man. What have I been geeking on? Lately I've been geeking on getting back into music. Not just like playing it, but also just listening to it.
Okay.
So I have been on a bit of a kick of like, hey, this thing's kind of making me sad. I shouldn't do it anymore. So
I decided listening to turn to Enya.
it's incredibly calming, and it's the only way that I can wash my hair properly. The thought process is that I'm tired of listening to podcasts because I am a political junkie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you leave me to my devices, I will have a constant feed of like, hey, guess what bad shit happened today? Hey, Guess what other bad shit happened today?
Ooh, that's no good.
Well, I wish it was another fucking response, but, you know, news doesn't exactly have any sort of like feel good stories anymore.
Sure.
It's not like, hey, kids, let's meet Tippy, the water skiing squirrel. That's right. Tippy goes around and rides around behind a radio controlled boat. That's right. For the local kids at the YMCA. Like, none of that shit happens. Everything's on fire or women are listening. Rights or everything's awful or somebody's a moron or just who the fuck knows. Like any and all options of the following are basically what happens in my feed.
And
for as much as I want to stay connected, because like per example, I was talking to you about this before. There's a podcast that I've been listening to, and for anyone else who is curious about the upcoming presidential race, there is a podcast from a gentleman, I believe he's with the New York Times, and they called The Primary Ride Home. Mm. And it is 20 minutes, and it's every day, and the dude just covers what's going on in the primaries.
The horse race.
No Trump bullshit, no anything else, just strictly like, hey, what did Elizabeth Warren do today? What did Joe Biden do today? What's Beto doing? Like, basically a, like, snapshot of this stuff. And he tries to give as much equal coverage of everyone as humanly possible. Like, he did, like, 10 minutes on Gillibrand the other day, and it was like, nobody's fucking doing 10 minutes on Gillibrand. So, like... Nope. That's awesome that I get to understand at least like if she releases a new policy proposal, he covers it. And he's like, hey, here's what she's saying. Here's what the best pundits are taking away from that. Here's this in a snapshot compared to the front runners, your Bernies, your Kamalas, your Buttigieg's, your Bidens. And this way you get a realistic idea so that I feel like I can make when the time comes, not just a gut reaction, not just a like, who do I really like, but also like an educated thing of like, I may not necessarily like this person that much, but the policy on the following feels like the smartest thing. And I think what's best for me as a voter is this decision. I think that's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm even unplugging from that because I just need a break from all of it. And I feel like a bit of a traitor right now.
No,
like,
it's all good. It's too much stuff. There's too much stuff.
It's too much. Like, and I of course, like, I'm trying to do my best to have a, like, well-rounded response. So I'm trying to listen to things from, like, different sides of the aisle and then figure out what's what. And, like, I'm doing my best to not live in a bubble in this sense.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what my leanings are, I don't want to live in a bubble. And I'm worn out by it. Like, I really, really am just worn out by it. So
yeah, that's understandable.
I, like I went hard in the paint, and I like went back to the stuff. So I have this theory that like most people, they lock in their music tastes between the ages of 17 and 21. Like, you don't really discover what you really like until 14 or 15, and you usually have a bit of an angsty stage there. So, like, whatever that is usually doesn't stick around too much. Like, there'll be one or two bands, and then, like, the rest will be like, yeah, you know what, that's maybe not necessarily for me. Mm-hmm. And then you start to figure out who you are right around when you turn 18, because that's usually when the puppy love shit starts. And then the summer after you graduate, and, like, you're maybe your first year of college or whatever it is, those 2 years – like, especially during the summer, when you have more time to, like, be in the car and drive around with the same album on or something. Like, those sort of things stick with you. And I needed, like, comfort food. And I went back and just that shit. Like,
yeah.
Last 2 days have just been a couple albums that I've just been playing over and over again. And I equally feel like I'm stifling myself musically, and at the same time I'm like, no, it's okay to just listen to what you like and not be ashamed about it and be able to enjoy it and see if now, years later, you know, I'm 35 now, if I still like this stuff that I liked when I was 19 or 20, is part of it nostalgia? Probably. Is it maybe that it's actually pretty okay? I hope so. But you know, I understand that we all have music that, like, someone that we know goes, really? I mean, are you sure?
Mm.
Okay. But, yeah. And, like, trying to get back into that. So that's been, like, I've been trying to kind of find center is really where it is. And then be like, and then I want this, and then I want this. And I got, like, way back on my, like, I need to fucking make playlists sort of thing. You through like, okay, I need this to kind of help through this, and this is the one that I want that's on the background through my workday because I can blow through this and sing along to it. And like, so I've been trying to kind of cultivate and cleave my music out a little bit, and I'm a fucking collector when it comes to music. Like, my phone's got something like 16,000 songs, not counting my access to Apple Music.
Yeah.
So making the decisions of like, hey, these 15 to 18 songs, like these right here, that couple hours, that's it, that's the bread and butter. That's the thing that, like, I put this on and no matter what fucking mood I am, by the time the third track's in, I'm like, yeah, that's my fucking jam, everything's all right, everything's good.
rolling.
Oh God, no. I can very easily date myself as being one of the guys who took the movie High Fidelity way too seriously when I was young. So all the bad and good with that goes along with that, I also blame a party day along with that. I'm happy to throw it because we both fucking did that.
Yeah.
And it was one of those where, like, you're like 19, 18, and it's that summer right after you graduate, and you're like, music's my world, man, and I'm going to come up with playlists that mean something, and we're going to learn covers, we're going to do, like, deep fucking shit, and then we're going to use that inspiration, we're going to write tracks. And believe me, I was in a band, we caught an album, it ain't good. And, like, and, you know, like, I had that experience. I got a chance to get thrown out of my own band, and then, you know, all the drama that goes along with it.
Oh, nice.
But, like, remembering all that stuff and that summer, and the biggest things that stuck with me was driving around in the middle of nowhere with, like, the people that I cared about in the car with me, all the windows open, sunroof open, and just blasting these songs, and all of us kind of doing that, not even necessarily like singing along like full on Journey style, but like, looks like they belong in a car commercial where everyone's kind of like doing the airplane thing out the window and kind of really enjoying the night's air. And like, I am, my brain, I think, is actively trying to recapture that somehow.
Nice.
Just, I need some sort of like, this is when things were okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And everything else is kind of meh. But this little ball, this little, like, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, this moment in time with these songs through the car stereo with the windows down, whether I did it when I was 19 or whether I do it now on the way home from work, like, I still get that same head nod. I still can kind of harken back to that. I still remember the smells of the night air and everything. Like, that sort of thing really sticks with me.
Nice.
So that's been kind of my last couple of days of just like, yeah, there's been that. Like, you and I fucking went and did a thing, and that was super rad. But like in my head off to the side, I'm like, I fucking love this song. I need to save one of this one. Like, I've been making notes like crazy.
This is the good one. This is the good one. This one. Why did I listen to this one?
Just literally, like, I have probably got the better part of 30 playlists on my phone right now. It's ridiculous. Like, there's something genuinely wrong with me when it comes to this sort of thing.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. going back through the stacks.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, because there are songs that, like, we all admit that we really like and everything. But, like, Young MC's Bust a Move. I know. Right. The fucking song is a jam. It's my goddamn ringtone for when I wake up. Like, I start every day with hearing This Is a Jam for All the Fellas. And, like, immediately my day starts pretty okay. Like, but I know when I was 19 or 20, I knew about the song. I didn't give a fuck about it the way I do now. I couldn't appreciate it the way I do now. Now I associate it with great memories, and now that sort of thing matters. So, like, I didn't have the same appreciation for music. So, I don't know. Like, that's been kind of what I'm digging into.
That's
what
pretty cool. What are you doing? So, I've been geeking on a bag, and you're usually the bag guy.
Oh, god damn it. But you motherfucker.
I'm geeking on this here bag, and it is the Peak Design 5-liter sling. So it was a busy ass weekend. Like, I had three things to do Saturday, two things to do Sunday. We didn't do shit yesterday, but I wanted to just see how this bag worked in the field. So this thing is a pretty lightweight bag in itself. It's waterproof. So like, you could, you know, if it rains, you're good. Your gear is all safe. It's got these Velcro pouch divider things that you can reconfigure the interior of the bag for stuff. So like, this is the worst ASMR. But they pop out, they have like a shelf configuration like this. So you can like hide a little thing there. It's definitely can hold like a little mirrorless camera. This is my EP5, which is a very, very old, Micro Four Thirds. But it goes in this side pocket here, which leaves you room for like an extra lens or batteries. There's like an interior pocket here with like little pockets for batteries and whatever stuff.
SD cards and what have you, and yada yadas.
There's a sleeve in here that's for like, they say it's for like a small tablet, like a 9-inch tablet. I don't know, because I don't have a 9-inch tablet, and the tablet that I do have will not fucking fit in this thing.
Yeah, I have found that I've been really loving the like 9-inch style notebooks. Mm-hmm. They've been great. I use these for like organizing things.
Oh, sure.
I've sung the praise of these. If anyone's curious about this, I think I've mentioned them before. You get like a pack of three of them for like $15. They're all graph paper. It's called Northbooks. It'll absolutely fit, because it's like A5 style or something like that. So it's like almost the same size as the 9-inch iPad, because I have one.
Okay.
And it fits into like a sleeve that goes along with all that stuff and everything. So it's all designed for that sort of thing. But I think you could very easily use it for things like small notebooks to kind of, you know, you're going to do a shoot or something like that. You want to have organization of notes, or you want to write down the field contact, and you want to have a paper copy in case your battery dies or whatever it is. Like, if you are that sort of person, I think that pocket would be perfect for that sort of thing.
Oh yeah.
Given my own experience of traveling around with rig stuff, I don't know if I'd ever carry a tablet to go shooting.
No, I don't either.
Because I don't understand the point of it.
Yeah.
Like, if you were going out and carrying like an iPad, where the fuck is it? I don't know. It's over somewhere. Like, if you're carrying an iPad as your primary computer or something like that,
mm-hmm.
I get that, but then you're probably not carrying the 9-inch. So I'm not really sure who that's for.
Well, I think the idea is that if you're a photojournalist and you need to process photos quickly and turn them around the same time, the same day, it's easier to do that on a smallish pad than an iPhone. So like you take your shots, you dump them on your pad, you do some quick edits, and then you send them right off. And this bag will hold that shit.
I don't know if a pro would use a kit that small. I got to be honest with you.
I have no idea. But yeah. I liked it a lot. It was very convenient to hold all my shit.
I was very jealous the entire time, as I'm like, I should have brought my sling bag, because I have something that is not nearly as nice. Like, I have a Timbuktu bag that's a bit smaller that works out pretty well. And like, I've got Chrome Messenger bags that I love, but they don't breathe well. So they're real bad for like shooting in warmer weather.
Oh, yeah.
But like, that's been the harder part, is trying to find some sort of like sling bag that holds everything. And I've got the big issue of like, I've got some real estate going on in this direction. So like, yeah, something that small looks comical on me.
Sure.
So like, that's been my issue, is trying to figure out like, what's that sweet spot of like, yeah, this doesn't look like anything too big, but at the same time, it's not comically small.
That's true. I don't, and that's where we differ. Well, because I don't give a shit like what people think of me when I'm carrying stuff, mostly because I'm there for a job, or I'm bringing stuff with me, and like,
no, I get that.
So I don't know. But it also has like a front pocket in here. Like, there's so many pockets in here, and this is perfect size for business cards and field notes.
Okay.
So like, little field notes go in here, and I still got space for like a stack of business cards, which I remembered to bring business cards for once. And then the strap gets bigger or smaller. It also converts. There's this latch here. You can unlatch it, tuck this in. So this becomes like an oversized fanny pack. So like, if you're biking or like on a jog, and for some reason you're carrying your kit with you, you could turn it into like a disgusting fanny pack.
No. I couldn't imagine that actually happening. Yeah, like, I've got similar things. Hang on.
Yeah.
Like, by comparison to anyone else seeing at home, like, the standard Chrome bag, relative size of like,
oh yeah,
cross body bag or whatever it is. Yeah, I got a Timbuktu bag that is noticeably smaller than this. So like, you can see kind of the size difference of the two. Not really.
Oh, nice.
But like, reasonably, it's probably 3/4 the size. Mm-hmm. And that has the ability to, I've been able to fit, like, basically what I would need to go to a convention. When I was still with Art Fight. So you're talking water bottle, full 15-inch MacBook, chargers, my camera, two lenses, batteries for everything, my portable battery, my notebooks, all of that other stuff, and be able to fit all of that stuff reasonably on my back, have the adjustable ability of keeping it low around the waist to be able to have quick access to change lenses out, or cinch it up more like a commuter or messenger bag, and be able to have the security of it. So if I did get on a bike, or I wanted to walk through the city, I want to leave my bag kind of hanging down or whatever it is,
yeah,
I can do that. And then I've also integrated with that, when I use it, the Peak Design clip
for your camera.
So to be able to, if I don't necessarily want to keep it physically on me, I can clip it to the front of the bag and be able to say, okay, yeah, I've got my camera at the ready. It's not necessarily put away. It's not necessarily like, once I bought the Peak Design strap, I'm finding the clip to be less and less useful. But
yeah,
it's fucking gorgeous, so I can't necessarily like part with it. Yeah, like, yeah, I'm not at the point where I'm like, I don't know if I really need this. I keep strapping it to like every bag I carry, because I'm like, I want to fucking use this thing.
Yeah. And I'm a fan of the straps, because, you know, your camera's at your side, you can just bam.
Yeah,
bam.
I totally
bam,
get it. I think bam. Once I switched away from carrying my camera using like a wrist style strap, like I had a paracord wrist strap, I was taking it off, mounting it onto, like, I would have the straps on my backpack and I would mount it to the front of that. And then as I'm going hiking, if I see something, I would clip it off, throw the wrist on, and then fire at whatever. and then basically do the thing and then walk around with the thing. But I wonder more and more if it was just easier for me to just have the camera on the strap, and I kind of fell in love with the idea of the thing.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? I know I'm easily drawn into the Peak Design thing. Like, I've been eyeballing that freaking 30-liter backpack that they have. The Charm City Shinobi, Dan Malahome, has the 20-liter. Mm-hmm. And for me, being a guy my size, the fact that the back straps are on metal grommets that rotate and butterfly out, that means the pack has the ability to expand for me.
And it's got these things here too. So like, this is a metal grommet for like,
right.
Rotates. But yeah.
Like, right. But like being able to, cause like I went to REI yesterday and checked out the 20-liter one. And I was like, you know, I was with a buddy of mine and he's not a backpack guy. Right. And I'm flipping through it and he was like, honestly, dude, that thing's pretty fucking cool. And I was like, yeah, I know. It really bothers me because I don't need another bag. Like, yeah. I think I've really got to, like, I need to clearance out my bags because I've got, what do I have, a GORUCK bag, I have two Chrome bags, I've got the Timbuktu bag, and then I've got an Eddie Bauer backpack that I've been absolutely loving that I got, like, double clearance.
Nice.
But yeah, like, I'm a total bag junkie. Bags and sneakers.
And I get them bags.
I am all about being prepared. I am definitely one of those like everyday carry douchebags. I can promise you that.
You got a
like,
bug out bag and bug out.
No, God, no, fuck no, 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 no. No, there is a very real line on the internet between like everyday carry and everyday carry, and then everyday carry and then like bug out bag. There's the like, yeah, I really want to have a notepad and a pen and maybe a pocket knife in case I need to cut something loose, and maybe like a thing on my keychain that lets me tighten screws or something like that. And then there's like dudes that want all that and a handgun and then some sort of baton. And then there are dudes who are like, want all of those things. And then there's a bucket that lives like by every door in the house.
Jesus.
That like, for some reason, if a tack team shows up, they're like, I'm suddenly Jason Bourne, and just fucking disappear off into the fog.
Yeah.
The soundtrack fires up, and next thing you know, they are go, no go for launch. Inevitably climbing into the front seat of their Dodge Ram 1500.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, they all seem to think that the vehicle to escape the apocalypse in is the Ram truck. But. Like, no one who has a bug out bag drives a Mini Cooper.
Sure.
It's not that guy.
That's
like,
true.
I can tell you get me into like a Chick-fil-A parking lot and I can tell you who's got a bug out bag. They've usually got ladder racks or not ladder racks, like overland shit on the back of their Ram. Like,
right.
They're ready to be off the grid.
Yeah. Well, the 5-liter sling is not appropriate for bugging out like that. But
no, it's not.
But if you have like a quick shoot, if you have a small sized camera, even if you have like a medium sized camera, like my D5100 fits nicely in this bag, and it's a DSLR APS-C. I think my father-in-law's D300 would fit. I just have to remove the lens and put it to the side. But like,
yeah.
The almost full frame body, I think, will fit in this bag.
I absolutely think it'll fit. I think for me, the deciding factor is I couldn't get my camera gear and a water bottle in there.
Yes, the water bottle you have to bring yourself because I like this will not fit. This won't fit.
So like, for me, I think at the minimum I would go with the smaller style messenger bag from Peak Design. But I can feel pretty confident in saying everything that you and I have collectively purchased from Peak Design has been top tier.
Yeah.
Both build quality and able to stand up and just delivery per dollar. It is a exquisite set of products.
Oh, for sure.
And I hate it because it's stupid expensive.
For sure. They're running a Kickstarter now for a travel tripod.
No.
The carbon fiber version is $600.
Fuck, what do you need? Like, where are you that like, you are, that's some Leica bullshit is what it is.
I know,
like,
right?
You're like, I have to carry around my camera, but I don't want the weight of a tripod going on. Like, someone needs to be able to attach a lightweight tripod for all of the fast shoots I have to make.
Yeah, I think there's another. It's like either aluminum or steel, but the tier down from that is only $400.
I'm sure it's aluminum, and it probably has like magnesium this and titanium that, and it is one of those things where, as much as I want to rag on it because the price is ridiculous, everything they've built that I have physically put hands on is a gorgeous, well-made, fully operational, never say fail piece of equipment.
Yeah,
and that's something I can't say about a lot of brands.
Yeah, and you know, we're not sponsored by Peak Design yet.
Though I fucking would. I can tell you right now, you know what? Fuck it. Hang on. I have the sticker right here, right? From my I'm going to go on record here. Hi, this is your podcast friend from the fucking Duocast, Brandon Chalmers. Now, I love Peak Design just like you do. Now, I know what you're thinking. Brandon, how far are you willing to go with this? Well, friend, let me say this. If Peak Design brings me on as a full-time sponsor with a committed contract of 2 calendar years, I am willing to get a tramp stamp of this Peak Design logo right above my ass crack. So every time I bend over to go do a shot, somebody will be like, what is that? And I'll be like, that right there, that's quality. That's what that is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So thanks.
That'd be
from,
amazing.
From your friends, the fucking Duocast. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know how I get in front of them for that pitch. I don't think they'd really be interested, if I'm honest. But yeah, sure. I want them to know the level of commitment I'm going for here.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, to be honest with you, if you guys just want to send me a 30-liter bag and just let me torture test the hell out of it, I'll take it everywhere.
Yeah.
Hiking, commuting, conventions, photo shoots, everything. And I will gladly be a brand ambassador. Everything they have made that I have purchased has been top-notch. I go on record as saying it, I will continue to do so.
Sure.
But boy, howdy, will I do so if you guys sponsor me.
Yeah. Like, it started with the straps. The straps were phenomenal. And now I got a bag and we got clips and, you know.
Yeah. I was going to say, it started with a clip for me. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. They win. But, yeah. So I'm super jealous of your bag, which is not something I need to be because I'm so bad about that.
Oh, and the other nice thing about it is it's small enough so that when I sling it, it fits on my back, like the back instead of right at the hip. I mean, I can extend it if I want it to be at my hip, but I also can pull it up enough so that it's just on my back. So it just makes it light and airy.
That is the very similar thing to like the Timbuktu bag. Mm-hmm. I think it's literally a size difference in backs. Is yeah. really what it comes down to. Like, yeah. you are noticeably smaller than me. So for anyone following at home, I have a 50-inch chest. So buying suit jackets is a thing. But in turn, because of the real estate I got, that small bag I don't think will work for me. Mm-hmm. Do I think it could hold everything shy of the water bottle? Yeah, it really could. Mm-hmm. I probably am overdoing it every time I buy a bigger bag. But that's me.
Yeah. And the only other camera bag I have that's around the size is the Nikon bag that has Nikon branded on it, and I didn't want anything that had a big logo on it to be tempting. I just wanted a low profile like little thing. So that's why I like my new frame.
I agree, and as a bag fiend myself, I was real jelly. Like, was looking at Peak Design's website in the car on the way there, Jelly. Low key, just kind of checking out your girl, Jelly. Like, yeah. that's where I'm at.
I mean, it is nice. And the Best Buy by us has a bunch of Peak Design stuff. So
that goddamn Rockville Best Buy.
They got all
I live in a no man's land of good shit, Jamie, is really what I'm getting
they
at.
They got all the mirrorless cameras set up. They got the Z7, the Z6, all that shit.
God damn it. Jamie Noguchi, what are we talking about today?
had an away mission yesterday. Was it yesterday? Sunday. It was Sunday.
Sunday.
An away mission. Our first photo gig. We got paid in food, which is the perfect way to pay me and Brandon. Like,
well, hang on. For now.
For now, sure. While we're learning.
While we are learning. Currently recording May 28th in the year of our Lord 2019.
Sure.
Just 20 years into the millennium that we are, we are fine at the moment to be paid in food. Just throwing that out there into the ether.
Right now.
Everything is great. Like, you, by the way, I know we'll get there eventually. You extra motherfucker went and like the stuff that you did. Yeah. Continue. talk about it. Go on.
Friend of the show, Keith Chow of the Nerds of Color podcast network, also website, also activist, also everything. Like, Keith.
Hang on. Podcast network?
Yes. He has a podcast network, the Nerds of Color podcast network.
Can I get like a day pass or something for that? Is that. How's that work?
I don't know. Like, I could talk
do
to
Do I
him.
Have to like fill out a 23andMe thing or something like that? And I'd be one of those guys? Like, is that how this works? Or can I just get like grandfathered in?
I'm not sure. I could talk to him about it. If you're serious.
I thought we jokingly threw this out there before, but
that's true.
Yeah. I think any way for us to get more eyes on this thing, Jamie, honestly, is a good idea to do.
Consider it done. I will be emailing it right after.
Yeah! But yes. Good luck selling that. Anyway.
So he invited us to shoot his mother's 70th birthday surprise banquet because, you know, we ran into Keith at the Bubble Tea Festival a couple weeks ago in Rockville, and we were just shooting the shit, and like we both had our cameras on us, and we're like, hey, we're trying to get into this photo stuff. We're not really sure what we're doing, but you know, if you want us to shoot anything, you know, just give me a call and we'll figure something out. He gave us a call and we figured something out. And so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Sunday afternoon, you and I headed on down to Alexandria, Virginia, with our kits in hand, bag in tow, cameras in tow, and we decided that we were going to shoot an event for the first time.
Yeah.
As photographers. Yeah. It was going to be in a restaurant, so I had the notion that I needed to learn how to use a flash.
Okay. Can we talk about you making a decision and then not telling me what you were doing? Because you could have been like, hey, dude, so I'm thinking about this. The price point's pretty low. You might want to order one, you know, play with it for a day. See if it helps.
I literally thought of it like 2 days before.
The amount of things that you send me through chat that are camera related, and then you have the nerve to pull the trigger on Amazon and not even like give a man a high. I'll pay the extra $4 to prime that shit, man. Like, you're killing me with that.
I inherited this. This is not a purchase. So like I inherited. I don't know how much a speed light costs. They don't cost anything.
It's like $30. Yeah. It's nothing. You could have been like, hey, this is a thing I'm thinking about doing.
I'd be like, definitely fucked up there.
Sure. Worst case, I'll send that shit back. God damn it. I have an Amazon return I got to do. Anyway, but
I failed you. I failed you, Brandon. I failed my family.
It didn't occur to me until halfway through the shoot how hindered I was until you leaned over and you showed me some of your shots. And I'm like, my camera's broken. And just... because like by comparison I think my lighting wasn't up to par, and I think some of the shots I got were good.
You
but
got
like,
a lot of man, great smiles.
I like, yeah, like I think I'm getting the handle of like finding some good moments there, mm-hmm. and just kind of hanging back, but it would have been nice to have that lighting to kind of help that a bit.
Yeah, and I'm really sorry about that. Like, I didn't even think.
I have to publicly give you shit because we're here.
Yeah.
And you know how this works. Policies dictates that if you inadvertently leave me out on a limb, I have to publicly call you out on this. That's just how this
my policy. My thought was that because I wasn't sure it was gonna work because like. I didn't know if I was going to be fucking up everything. Like I was half thinking like when we get in there, the light's going to be fine. Our lenses are going to be fine. Everything I'm going to shoot is going to be blown out and look awful. So I was hedging my bets kind of. I was like, well, I don't want to push you into a purchase that you're going to regret. And that's going to fuck us up for the evening.
Don't go backpedaling now. You just didn't think of me. This is how this works.
No. I did factor this into the calculation because I honestly didn't know if it was going to work. Because this is the first time we've shot for a long time in a rock club venue. Like at a rock club venue, we're used to shit lights. So we just, you know, we work with what we've got, you know.
Right. But I wonder if that sort of thing would help in a rock club venue or if it would just wash everything out.
I think it would be perfect in a rock club because
I think I need to invest in this if only to make false promises about showing up to things, like at the very least, just to tease the idea.
Yeah. And I spent the Thursday night or Friday night before the weekend. I just walked around the house with the speed light, trying different angles, using paper. I'm just trying to get something decent. So I don't know. I thought of you. I didn't say anything, which is my bad, but like, I didn't want to get you hyped on a purchase that you might regret.
No, I get that.
And now I'm going to tell you, get a fucking speed light, Brandon, learn how to use it. And we will be killer. We will be good to go. Cause like, The moments that you caught were really fun. Like, you had a lot of great smiles, a lot of angles that I couldn't get, especially when Keith's mom came in because he didn't fucking tell me what his mom looked like.
Yeah. I think I had some added advantages of some things by having maybe a bit of extra reach in certain situations or a willingness to kind of throw myself into situations.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed sometimes a little hesitation on you about getting into situations. Mm-hmm, and like,
definitely.
I don't know if it's that I didn't know anybody, so I didn't necessarily feel bad. Like, I already felt like I was super out of place. And please let me clarify to Keith and anyone who Keith knows or anything else like that. His family were incredibly inviting. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Every one of them was beyond kind. And the second they were like, no, you're here with Keith. Awesome. Come on over. And like, everybody was more than welcome. But at the same time, I didn't have that, like, I don't know, a concern for kind of nudging myself in and getting a shot from time to time. And I think because I didn't have that tie in, it almost got like wedding photographer sort of thing where like, you see me moving around with a camera, you know what's going on. Let's be realistic about it.
And you had that killer instinct. So you were able to get in there, and I got there eventually towards the end of the evening. Like, I feel like I was getting a lot more bold with stuff and getting into stuff, but it took me longer to warm up to shooting just because, I don't know. So far, we've just been like far away, candid, secretive street photography where like no one's paying attention to you and you just take your time and bleep, bleep, bleep.
Yeah.
And we haven't really been in a situation where like we're trying to catch moments and people interacting with each other. So like, it took me a while to get into the groove. How did it go for you? How did you feel like for our first time around?
It felt awkward. It was fun, but it was weird. It never necessarily felt like work.
Right.
Which is good.
Yeah.
I felt inadequate with my equipment that I had because I was only seeing what was popping up on the screen when I would like occasionally check a photo. Mm-hmm. And I basically took a couple seconds here and there to like scroll through a couple of them just to be like, yeah, okay, this is good. Yeah, this isn't good. There were a couple of them where like there was a back corner of the restaurant where there was like the cascade of the yellow lights coming up, and there was a lot of like red this and that and a lot of gold, and there was like an overhang thing, and the lighting was kind of perfect, and like I was not intentionally trying to hang out this way, but there was a gentleman who was in like a powder blue suit like the color contrast of that popped so hard, and like I was like I got one of them and I was like I fucking nailed that. And by the time we got done, I think I shot, I don't know, 300 or 400 photos, and to comfortably say I felt confident about 20 of them. May have been a bit much,
right?
And at first, like when we were riding back and you were like, what'd you think, yada yada yada, I genuinely was like, if I get 50 photos that you like, I'm a happy camper. Admittedly, in my head, I'm like, if I get 20 photos that are respectable, I should be pretty pleased with it. But like, I was a little disappointed in myself in a weird way, because I felt like I was doing a little bit of spray and pray, and I didn't like that. Yeah. Like, I feel like a lot of the shoots that I've gotten so far, I feel very deliberate in the shot. Like, I go out somewhere and I find a location or something like that that I really like, and it's something that like I had visited before, and I'm like, I really need to capture this, and I take a couple of them knowing that I want to try and edit them or see if I can play with the light or whatever it is by moving around a bit.
Yeah.
And like, especially when we did the street photography at the Funk Festival,
oh yeah,
I feel like I got a lot of like really great moments of just being patient. And in that moment, I didn't feel patient at all. I was like, there's so many things happening. I have to make sure I'm not missing. So like, I felt like my head was on a constant swivel of like, who's meeting who? Who's saying hi to who? Where is this? So like, it was one of those like, I had to start going by instincts, or it was like, I start to see people coming in, and then I start to see people start to move around a room. And then I know that they're going to make the rounds, and somebody they're going to see they haven't seen in a while, try and get that photo. One of Keith's family members, who I think they haven't seen in a bit, walked in pregnant, and some of the people had a response. I was like, I'm following the pregnant lady, because I knew that was going to be a moment where like everyone was going to be like, oh my God, I didn't know. Congratulations. So like, I was hoping for those sort of things.
And you got a bunch of
those.
So
I think my instincts were good. But at the same time, it was like, I hit a real crossroads of like, I don't know if I was happy necessarily with it in the moment. And then I got home and I started to tear through them, and I was like, okay, there's a lot that I don't like. There's a lot that I wish I would have done better. There's a lot more that I like than I thought I would.
Yeah.
And I felt way better about it after the fact. So like, once I sent you over the raw ones to kind of like go through, and you were like, hey, I shot this many, you shot this many, we were relatively equivalent. And then you were like, there's some good stuff here. It was like, cool, I didn't fail anybody. Gold stars. All right, we're good.
No, you had a lot of great moments of people like right at the right smile. Following the pregnant lady is always a good idea. Always follow pregnantly.
like I said, there were some instincts. Keith had, I think, an uncle named Sam.
Right, that dude was holding court.
He was holding court, and like, he was really enjoyable, and like, it had a line for everybody, and like, there was like some conversations that were going on, and there was some back and forth, and like, you caught a great one, I think, of like him meeting like one of the nephews who was easily head and shoulders up, like taller than the uncle, and like, the big like off the ground embrace, and then dropping him back down, and like, him going from feeling like he's holding court to like, Jesus, I just got manhandled. Like, those sort of fun moments there, where you get to see kind of the tables turned on somebody. That was a lot of fun stuff to see. So like, I think you and I both had a very similar instinct of like, there are 10 to 12 people to start paying attention to. Like, admittedly, I started eyeing out like one of their uncles, who kept giving me the weirdest looks, like when I'd start to shoot. Like, he kind of like, he would find my lens every time, and I'd inadvertently like, I'd snap one photo of like the table, and then I'd zoom in on him and like focus on him and get one of him. So like, you'd see all this bokeh around, and then like, just him kind of going, hey. And it's like, yeah, like, he had that. Keith had a younger cousin who was like super photogenic. Young man with like a shorter haircut. I must have got 5 or 6 of him that like, I was pretty pleased with. If they were street shots, I'd have been like, yeah, I nailed that kid. Like, he's super photogenic, great cheekbones. But like, there were some moments where like, that was kind of the thing. But Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. They, I'm trying to think of anybody else who. Oh, Keith's brother.
Yeah.
The, like, a dude who I didn't expect to be a character and was a total character.
Oh, yeah.
And the like, one photo that I got of him where, like, he was kind of, like, pulled back and I got, like, a nice close shot of him mm-hmm. with, like, my fixed lens. And yeah. I felt really good about it. It was one of those, like, I saw Keith's reaction when I showed him the photo. And I was like, okay, I got to nail that because I know his brother wasn't necessarily comfortable with the shot, but Keith loved it. And I know there are other people around Keith who are, like, who will see that and go, I like that. That's a good photo of you. And they're going to needle him down eventually. Fingers crossed. I'm going to scroll through and one of my Facebook suggestions for him will be that photo. Like, it'll be him. It'll be that profile photo and it'll grow on him like a fungus.
Yeah, I hope so. It was definitely a different experience. I don't think we've ever done an event like that before.
No. I've tried to shoot family indoors and it's a very big challenge, like especially kids and stuff like that, because they just move around so much.
Yeah.
But like the lighting especially, I probably should have seen this coming because I've had problems before shooting indoor like family things. And when you get with that like yellow light that happens with like just regular light bulbs, just kind of mazes everything. And It never occurred to me that, like, I need to fix that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just naturally like, I'm just not shooting indoors because no.
Yeah. I as well have been deathly afraid of flash because every time you use flash on a camera, it's right above the lens. It's right in your eyes and you get like this much in focus. It's brighter than all fuck, and the rest of it is dark as hell. And you're like, what the fuck am I looking at?
Because we're all used to using that stupid pop-up flash where you shine everybody in the face, because the only time you ever see the flash used is by somebody's aunt, and sure. She has no idea how to shoot.
Yeah.
And she's like, geez, guys, snap, and you're like, suddenly you look whiter than shit. Everyone else looks completely washed out.
Yeah.
And then you get like half backgrounds of other things going on, and you're always in the middle of like eating something. Whoa. Like the right. Yeah. Like the amount of photos that probably exist of me where I have ribs actively in my mouth is probably pretty concerning, if I'm honest. Like,
I love those shots, though. I love people eating.
No, I know. You have sometimes like the instinct of a nosy ant where you love those shots because you like a bit of torture on people.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. I get it from my brother. The other thing that was new, at least for you, was the Chinese banquet. Like the full-on Chinese banquet. And we got sat with the kids' table, which is always the best place to be.
Yeah, I was actually really pleased with who we got sat with, because like there was a weird mix of like I could tell some of them weren't super comfortable with me and others were like super intrigued by having you and I there.
Yeah.
Because like they almost got to misbehave or like let their hair down a little bit because we weren't actually family. So they got a chance to be like, yeah, no, whatever, that's fine. These guys are outsiders. And got a chance to have a little fun.
It's always been a pleasure to sit at the kids' table, always growing up and stuff. Like I'd been to that style of banquet for a long time growing up. Because we would every summer we would go visit San Francisco because my grandparents lived out there. Every once in a while we would have a fancy like Chinese style banquet, but it was always when we were younger. So like I never really got to appreciate all the food and all the stuff that goes with it. So like, getting to re-experience that now after so many years of just having fun eating food and experiencing food and trying different new things. It was fun to get back to that. Now I know not everything was great for you because some of that food, there's a lot of tendon and a lot of chewy bits.
I want to start by openly saying that I appreciate every experience that I get a chance to go to that is not in my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Even if it's not necessarily anything that I want to eat or I find necessarily appetizing, I do my best to try kind of everything.
I think you
and
did.
And see, like,
yeah.
I, yeah, like, I think the only thing I didn't actively eat was the chicken.
That's a shame because you would have loved it. That was great.
I know, but I again, like, I think I was at the point where, like, I need a breather for a second because
it's a lot of food.
There's no way around it. Traditional Chinese banquet and traditional Chinese food is very different than Americanized Chinese food.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It is not necessarily, I think saying it's an acquired taste is a really bold statement because I think it's kind of bullshit. I think getting used to the cuts of some of what they serve, not necessarily the flavors of anything, but the cuts are something that is an acquired taste in that sense.
Yeah, you got to get used to it.
I am not a huge fan of some of the more gristly or the more tendon bits or whatever it is. And I know there are some people that, like, you're fucking wrong. And I am. I'm sure I am. Like, when it comes to food, I am more than aware that there is a long list of people out there who will like a lot of stuff that I don't like. So I do my best to not be like, yeah, that's fucking gross. That's not the case. I strictly say it is not for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I did my best to kind of, I took a view of, like, the table and I'm like, okay, you're putting this sauce on the thing. And, like, I like that I got to the point where, like, Keith brought over some pork for you and I, and, like, immediately the cousins suddenly took pity on me. They're like, wait, you need to get this sauce.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah,
they're wheeling the thing over to me, like, making sure that I had a good experience with it and making sure I tried it. So, like,
yeah,
I think I had probably one of the best experiences of that because it wasn't like me going with a couple friends and experiencing Chinese banquet.
Sure.
Because I would have never have appreciated it that way. Going with a bunch of people who really like this and knowing what's coming, getting excited, like hearing them go, ooh, I hope there's a, like when the fish came out,
it was
so
good.
The person next to me was like, oh, I've been waiting for the fish. Where the fuck's the rice? And, like, I remember that was the big thing over and over again. Where the fuck is the rice?
They over did not and over hook again. Us up, man. It took them a while to give us a bowl of rice. I don't know what we did to offend the family.
No one got rice. I was taking a look. I was doing a survey. Like, I don't know if that's a, like, policy thing of, like, look, we're serving you a lot of fucking meat, so you need to man the fuck up. Like,
But the table next to us, not at the party, got the rice.
Because they fucking ordered things with rice, Jamie. They didn't have a 15-course dinner. They're, like, you have to understand, they were willing to get things that came with – okay, it's Iron Age policy.
Sure, sure.
Like, if you want to actually break into double digits and trays, especially with two or three people, you gotta curb the rice.
Yeah.
You gotta get away from it.
Yeah.
There's more meat to come. You gotta strap in and get fucking – there's lobster coming. I don't know if you realize there's lobster coming, but there's lobster coming, and you need to be ready.
That was really good. Well, that's why I like the kids table, because you'll never find more open ambassadors for new people to show you how to eat what to try, you know.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, they're not going to judge you for it because, you know, they don't get to eat this all the time either. So
no, they know what's up. That was great. And God bless Keith's daughter for not really caring for most of what was there.
Oh, yeah.
Because, man, did I have any pressure taken off of me by having her there. Like, if there were things that, like, I tried a little bit of and I was like, no, I'm good, thanks, and moved on to the next thing, she was fucking clean plate club for a good part of the meal.
She was like, I'm not going to touch that. That's gross.
It was a hard no. Yeah, just the hardest of no's. And, like, I started to think there was something wrong going on, and then she brought up this point, like, after the meal was over. She's like, I just like to, you know, have a meal without a decapitation. And then I realized that the way that a lot of these meals were served with the heads. Not heads on, just with the heads.
Mm-hmm.
And I am more than aware that that is a cultural difference there that I am not used to. I'm not thrown by it. I'm not confused where my meat comes from. I get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think there were like two lobster heads and a chicken head. And she was like, there were three heads. And I'm like, there were three heads. Like, for as much as everybody kind of wants to give her shit, that poor girl's right. Yeah. There was a lot of headless meat going on that mm-hmm. table.
Mm-hmm. A lot of heads on the plate.
there were a lot of heads on plates, and she's got a valid point. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it wasn't tasty. I'm saying she's got a valid point. Like, yeah. I can't in good conscience argue that part.
Sure.
Now, God love her that she made them order a plate of General's chicken, which, like, feels like the sort of thing that someone who looks like me would force you to do halfway yeah. through a meal. Be like,
yeah.
I really need something that I can actually eat. Mm-hmm. Like, do you guys have, like, chicken? Is that something that I can get?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I feel bad because I feel like I'm ragging on her. But I want to say,
yeah,
she's a sweetheart. God, that was fun.
Yeah.
Like, she's a trip.
Yeah. So after we shot everything, said our goodbyes, went home, I started getting to editing. You sent over some of your files. I started editing. I can't speak. I can't fucking talk.
You're good.
Started editing those together. You sent me JPEGs.
Yeah, sorry. I'm a basic bitch.
And I think I don't. Did you shoot JPEGs or did you shoot RAWs or whatever?
I think I've been shooting JPEGs because I haven't figured out how to set everything up as RAW.
Okay.
This is probably like deep end camera talk that we need to probably have offline because please understand, I'm a basic bitch when it comes to the camera as far as the functions go.
Sure,
like
sure.
You turn on was it focus peaking or whatever it is?
Yeah.
And I got weirded out. Like I straight went like Aunt trying to take pictures of you eating lunch because I was like, this feels weird. I don't like this. And yeah. I don't know if it was just that like I didn't have any time to get used to it. So mm-hmm. shooting that way at the thing, it just yeah. it was too much at once.
Yeah.
But yeah, like there's a lot of settings that like I need to learn, and I'm aware that I'm very novice when it comes to everything. Like I think the only thing that I feel relatively confident about is that my instincts are pretty good. I think as far as it goes. So like I'm the first one to throw myself under the bus when it comes to stuff like that because like I know I am in no way like I can tell you with confidence you are head and shoulders above me when it comes to capability of knowing how to use the equipment. And I think the only thing that is helping me even keep up is a halfway decent, like, for lack of a better way to put it, like a halfway decent eye. Like I think I know what I want to shoot, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
I think once I get the hang of everything, it'll be better. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a lot of that.
Well, the interesting thing is I didn't do a whole lot to like the things that you sent because they were exposed pretty well. Like I took down some of the highlights and stuff just because some of it was blown out. But like for the most part, I didn't do too much touching of your JPEGs. They looked pretty good to me.
Yeah, like I said, I wish I had the speed light there to kind of help out a bit with some of the lighting because mm-hmm. I agree with you. Some of the stuff was just blown out because I was without options. I had the light that was given to me and I just kind of made the best of it.
Yeah.
And I probably could have backed down a bit of the of letting in the light or the white balance or whatever it is. But like I don't have the experience with it. And it was like, fuck it, I can fix it in post. Mm-hmm. It's better to get the shot, figure it out on the back end.
Yeah. And I thought that was good. I think between the two of us, we had a good mix of a whole bunch of stuff. I took 600 some photos down to like 293, which is still probably too many, but I wanted to give Keith a variety of things to look at. Like I wanted him to to get the, you know, we probably gave him more than I guess is typical of a professional photographer situation, but that's because we're learning and we don't know what we're doing. But
I have no idea. Hey, real quick, I need to be unprofessional. I needed to take the dog out and I need her to go upstairs, so I'm just gonna take her upstairs. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Go. Sorry about that. She was being a sweetheart and she was like laying on the chair back behind me, but I know she needs to go to the bathroom. So she just was like, I don't want to leave. So anywho,
dog. So yeah, I, did all the edits. All my shit was underexposed, but I'm shooting raw, so that's fine. Brought it up a couple of stops. The speed light turned out better than I thought. I still need to learn how to fucking use it.
On the plus side, you'll learn how to use it, and I'll be where you are. So we'll forever be leapfrogging through this sort of thing. We're just – you'll set a bar, and I'll slowly start to meet it. My goal one day is to have you see a photo that I take and go, motherfucker. Like, that's realistically my goal right now.
Yeah. Well, that'll be pretty easy because I don't know what I'm doing.
Same. So, yeah. You know, there's that.
Yeah. And then I on a whim, I was like, we should probably give Keith the professional presentation for this instead of just what I normally do for Google I put Google
Photos. This is what I'm talking about. This shit.
I usually upload stuff to Google Photo and I send it to friends and say, here, take them out. But I was like, you know, if we're going to pretend to do this professionally, let's pretend hard. So I signed up for a service called PicTime, and there are a bunch of different photo hosting places that a whole bunch of professionals use. And the nice thing is they always have like a free service, and you have a certain amount of storage that you can upload your photos. But once you're done with your event, once you're done with editing stuff, you send it to the client, and you know, the client gets whatever your package is. So let's say you get 10 free photos per shoot. You know, once the client downloads those 10, if they want to add more to their package, they can purchase them at the time of seeing it. Or they want to get an album done, like a physical album, they can pick the ones they want themselves. And a lot of these photo hosting services will provide it. It's like a print on demand thing. So you as the photographer, you set it and forget it. And, you know, if they want specific albums of specific people for different types of things, like, I don't know, maybe one family wants just the groom photos or just the bride photos, you can get separate albums, purchase them through the site. You'll get it professionally printed and sent out to you with all the fancy stuff. Photographer doesn't have to do any of that. Like,
right.
They just set it and forget it. So I was like, well, you know, they got a free option with this place. I asked Brittany where she posts her stuff, and she was like, I use this service. So like Brittany is one of the professional wedding photographers that we know, Brittany and Johnny. And she suggested PicTime. I was like, okay, well, I'll try it out. It's good enough for her. I also bought a domain. So I bought lookslikebokeh.com because I figured that the tagline could be something like, it's not blurry, it just looks like bokeh.
Good bokeh. Yeah. Yeah. Never mind that we're bad. Just, yeah. It's bokeh. It's bokeh. Fine. Everything's good.
And I, you know, on the ride home, after I dropped you off, on the ride back to Arlington, I was like, man, we should have a site. It's like, bokeh bitch. No. Bokeh bastard. No. Bokeh believer. No. Looks like bokeh.
That's a good one. No. You did well. Don't get, like, you managed to get a tagline there. It's kind of clever. It is very inside baseball with the bokeh thing. Because if you don't know what bokeh is, you're going to be like, the hell?
Yeah.
Or you're going to assume it's like bukkake or something like that, which is a whole another issue.
But everyone has the internet, and it's a fun joke for photographers.
That is true. I will give you that.
So yeah, I sent it off to Keith. From all reports, he liked it. He's been posting some of the photos on his Facebook.
Yep, I've been seeing that.
We did the thing. I don't know if we're going to be doing it professionally, but
his
did the
mom
thing.
Responded to us.
Oh yeah,
and thanked us.
Oh yeah.
Did you not see the email?
No.
Hang on. Where is it? Hang on. Wait. If I'm not mistaken, I thought the mom responded. Was it not Connie?
Oh, that's my mom.
Oh, that's your mom. Okay, yeah, my apologies. My mom responded.
Yeah, because my parents wanted to see, and my in-laws wanted to see, so I sent everybody like the link.
Okay.
The link to the professional gallery.
Yeah, I'm curious what sort of savage review your father-in-law is going to give us. So, do me a favor, find out, but never ever tell me, cause I'll cry.
You'd be like, oh yeah, you guys got like two good ones.
yeah. It'll you know what it'll be? These are okay for amateur shots. Yeah, and I'll be like, thanks, friend. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else feel like trash? Just me? All right, good talk.
I don't know. Overall, would you do it again? Would you want to try?
I will absolutely try anything to improve my skill. If you had to put a gun to my head and be like, hey, is this what you want to do? No, I enjoy shooting outside a lot more than I do inside.
Yeah.
Because I like the natural light.
Oh yeah. Oh,
because there's a lot of it takes a lot of things out of my hands, and I know it feels like that's a cheat in a lot of ways of it's fucking outside. What am I supposed to do about the light? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, I kind of enjoy the idea of it's trapped in a moment and this is what it is and there's nothing I can do about it. I can try and clean it up in post or whatever it is, but there's a certain point where if I take a pic and it's a street shot and it's overcast and it's kind of rainy and that's just kind of part of the backdrop, okay. Mm-hmm. I learned this when I was shooting in DC and I shot the memorial for the Korean War. Mm-hmm. And I had a real regret in a weird way that when I made the shots, it was a beautiful day out. Cause I feel like I lost a lot of the consequence that comes out of that memorial.
Yeah.
Because the background was very just stark blue sky.
Yeah.
And I almost wish that I would have planned to go down there on a kind of rainy day and had a bit of a better idea of seeing what was going on, because I didn't necessarily feel as though I had the ability to clean it up and post that way. And I was I felt a little weird doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to create a false narrative in that sense. I want to kind of capture the moment there.
Sure.
But I don't know. I think with the street photography thing, I like the idea of not being able to control what's going on. If see somebody in midday light and they're just really intriguing and I want to be able to take that shot, and my goal right now is to have the nerve to just ask people if I can take their picture.
Oh yeah, that's tough.
I don't know if I'm going to get to that point.
Yeah.
It's going to be I don't know if you have to be in New York to have that sort of thing, because it seems creepy in a weird way, because I feel like the follow-up question will be why?
Yeah.
And I don't know how to be I find you intriguing and then have them be kind of okay with that.
Well, there's a street photographer that I follow on YouTube who in his Peak Design sling bag, in the front pocket he has a little a booklet of all of his street shots, and so when people ask, well, why are you taking your photo, instead of just handing them his card, he shows them his booklet of street photography, and he's I'm a street photographer, this is sort of my art form, I like documenting people and stuff and
people, right? Okay.
Yeah, so
right,
they can,
so basically
see,
hey, this is what I'm going to use this for. It's not secret spank bank material. It's just this is what I'm doing and this is what's going on.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. I do too, but I think you really need to be confident about how did he get the book?
So the way I've seen a bunch of street photographers do it, they just kind of go up to people and bam and bam bam.
See, I think I would need to find friends and for lack of a better way to put it, lie to people on the street and show them the book of people that I actually know who are willing to have their shots taken, and that's it. I need a plant is really what I need. I'm gonna have a field notes style book of just shots that I have of just being able to say, hey, this is kind of, I like to capture people in a moment. This is kind of my expression of art.
Yeah.
Here are some of the shots that you have an idea of what I tend to shoot so that you know that I'm not exploiting you.
Yeah.
Are you okay with this? I got to have plan. I think I would need you and your wife and half of the Art Fight crew and hell ever else, and just be able to just kind of do the gamut of people. Right. Just this be able to find an older gentleman, an older, more distinguished gentleman, and a very prim and proper woman, and a dude who's a little grizzled and wild, and people of different minorities and ethnicities and backgrounds and this and that, and be able to confidently show that look, I'm not taking some shithead shots, I'm not trying to throw you up on Facebook and turn you into a shitty meme.
Yeah,
that's not my goal.
Yeah, the other way to do it is you could ask them if you could take like a street portrait of them and be like, I'm a portrait photographer. Can I take your portrait? And then some people will say yes and some people will say no. But, you know, there are a couple of different approaches to it. And I think between the two of us, I think you'll get there faster than I will. Because I can't go up to strangers. Unless it's like very specific circumstances, like conventions or whatever. But yeah, I think you'll get there. I don't know if I'll ever get there.
I think you will eventually. Like, the one thing I definitely learned at that photo shoot is my comfort level with groups of people that I don't know is way higher than it probably should be. Like, the second we started to do like the big family portraits, and I'm like, no, scrunch it. Like, I immediately suddenly like, I went from not having any control over the situation to immediately just dictating what I need. And without hesitation, everybody was like, oh, and just immediately got friendly with the person next to them. And was like, that's fucking alarming. I shouldn't be able to do that right off the bat. And like,
because like,
I said it and like, we said a bunch of photos and I saw you kind of look down at me like, the fuck just happened? Like,
yeah. It's great. It's great.
I'm sad I couldn't get them to throw their arms up. I think that might be a white people thing.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
But it is interesting at an event, the camera gives you a little bit of anonymity, but also like some measure of power, because if you tell people, can you get in closer, they're going to do it.
Yeah. It's the old joke. You can get into any venue with a roofer shirt, a plumber and steam fitter shirt, or like some sort of maintenance shirt, and a bit of confidence.
Yeah.
And if you have like an 8-foot ladder, you're definitely getting in everywhere.
Oh,
like,
sure. Yeah.
If you walk up with like construction boots and pants and like a shirt that says like so-and-so roofing with like an 8-foot ladder, and you just walk up right to the gate and go, there's a leak over there, I got to get to it. And somebody will be like, come on. And you could just fucking security gates and all sorts of like, just nobody will fucking question you. And I wonder, like, the world is a fucking oyster. Like,
yeah,
but yeah, like, I wonder if the camera in a weird way is kind of that it's almost like everybody has a beer with the camera around. Mm-hmm. Where like the social lubricant of, I don't know if I want that. Like, it's terrible because even people who don't necessarily want their picture taken, if other people are around who are comfortable with it, they will be assholes to the other person for you.
Yeah.
Without any sort of coaxing. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, come on. Yeah. Hey, guys, could you get in a little closer? I don't know if I want my picture taken. Jesus Christ, Steve. Why you got to be an asshole? Get over here. I know you hate me, but goddamn, let's take a photo together. Yeah. And like, all of a sudden, Steve's got a half-hearted smile, and the other guy who's drunk as fuck is like, I got it. Right, yeah. Like, we did this thing together. He's uncomfortable because of us. It's like, Jesus fuck.
Yeah.
So.
Well, cool. Yeah, we'll see if this goes anywhere. It was fun.
It was a hell of a lot of fun. Yeah, I had a good time. I once again, I thank Keith for the opportunity. I thank his family for the hospitality.
Yeah.
That was really rad to be a chance to be there for that. And seeing her face when, like, everyone, like, she walked in and realized what was going on, and it was good.
That was great. She was like,
right, yeah, like, oh my goodness, everyone's here for me.
Yeah,
for me.
That was so great.
It was adorable. It was goddamn adorable.
All right, Brando, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at thatguychalmers.
And you can find me here and on Instagram at Jamie Noguchi. Twitter, Angry Zen Master. Just put my name places, you'll find it and stuff.
Jimmy, I think we got to figure out, like, are we going to try and do the Instagram photo thing? I wonder if it's just too much fucking work.
I don't know, man.
I don't know if I want to manage a whole nother Instagram.
No, I mean, I don't know.
I really don't want to. Anyway,
like,
that's
just
me bitching.
I mean, we got draw right now. We got photos, and we'll figure some shit
you know
out.
I don't need all that shit. Maybe we'll be like, we'll do the bokeh thing and we'll do like one big collective one or something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
I'll just post anyway. Whatever,
it'll be fun.
Yeah,
everything will be good.
All right, man.
Bye. Deuces. Go do